Let's open our Bibles today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're in our series, Teach Us to Pray. Before we get into the part that we're going to talk about today, I just want to revisit something in verse 9. Verse 9 of Matthew 6 says this. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray." Is how you should pray. We were in our prayer group on Tuesday this week, and Judy was sharing out of Hebrews chapter 4, which is it talks about the word of the Lord is living and powerful. Living and powerful. We're talking about that living word, and what does that mean? And Christine made this comment. She said, you know, after 10 years of reading the same scriptures over and over again, and at the end of 10 years, God can still give something new out of that word that you've read over and over and over again. And so it's because it's his living word, and so we get to read it. And so when I was reading recently through all of the Matthew chapter 6 again, I realized that what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 6, verse 9, is not what you should pray. Specifically, these are the words that you need to pray every single time you pray. But this is how you should pray. This is how you should pray, meaning what we've been talking about, this is prayer is a model for how to pray. It's a model. And I checked a few other translations on this just to make sure I wasn't off the deep end on this one. And in the NASB, the NASBA translation, it says it this way in verse 9. It says, "Pray then in this way." The NILT translation, the NLT, "Pray like this." And the Inkajiv version, that's my favorite one to say, Inkajiv. "In this manner, therefore pray." Okay? The point is that Jesus gave believers a model for prayer at least a few different times in Scripture so that we would have a place to begin praying. We have a place to begin praying. It's not that we shouldn't pray the words, those specific words. In fact, I was talking to a dad this week, this past week. He lost his wife in the last year, and he's raising his two kids. And he said that was a prayer that ever since the kids were little, they prayed that every single night before they went to bed. And so this dad said that just being able to pray that prayer still with his kids at night is a comfort to them. I remember as a kid, too, my parents and I were kneeling down sometimes on the side of the bed and praying that prayer at night. And so it's not that it's a bad thing to pray, but we need to be careful when praying this prayer that we don't get stuck in just reciting it, that it just becomes words that we say every single day without thinking about what it is that we're saying, okay? I remember in the Boy Scouts, they had us all memorize the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, and we had to stand at attention every single meeting that we had, and we had to raise our right hand like this, and this all symbolized something. I don't remember what it means anymore, but this is brotherhood, maybe? 3 points of the Scout Oath, something like that. Anyway, and we had to say these two recitations. We had to say the Scout Law, which there's 12 points of the Scout Law, and then the Scout Oath. And there's things in both of those things that I could say them well, and I didn't have to even think about it. I would just recite them, but they definitely weren't things that I was living in. As a scout, I will, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. That was not how I was living when I was saying it. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Was not living that way when I was saying that. We got to be careful when we say whatever it is that we say, whatever we pray. We don't want to just be reciting something, but we remember that this Lord's Prayer is a springboard into how it is that we are to pray. So God gives us, through Jesus, he gives us a model for prayer that we can then take and use to pray for all the things that God puts on our hearts to pray for. That's just an observation that I had, but I hope that brings some freedom. We don't need to limit ourselves to just those specific words that Jesus said. We can pray those words, and those are good, but we can use those words to get us to where it is that God wants us to pray. Amen? All right, well, that being said, let's have someone read out of Matthew 6 today. Corbin, I guess your hand was up first. Someone who hasn't read yet. Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13.
This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May what you want to happen be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, just as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. Keep us from sinning when we are tempted. Save us from the evil one.
Amen. Thank you. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that your word is transformative in our lives. It is the living word. I thank you that you do things in us that we cannot do ourselves. Lord, so we pray that you would do that today. As I read and as I go through this message today, what I believe you put on my heart to share, Lord, would you just use the words that I speak to be your own words, God? Would you make them your own? And would you speak to each one of us, including myself, that which you want us to know today? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Title of the message today is Our Daily Bread. Our Daily Bread. So we're in our series on the Lord's Prayer, well, specifically on Teach Us to Pray, and we're in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. And so far we've talked about the first part of the Lord's Prayer is that we would need to acknowledge who it is that we're praying to, that he is first our Father, and he lives in heaven. He dwells in heaven, but yet he sees everything that goes on in every single one of our lives, and he beckons us to come to him. We need to acknowledge that's who it is that we're praying to, and we need to submit. We talked about last week that cringe word, submit. Ooh, I don't want to submit. I don't always want to submit. This is my life. But we submit to him, and his kingdom come, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today we're going to start the third part of the Lord's Prayer in verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. And between verses 10 and 11, Jesus makes another transition in what it is that we are to be praying for. From praying for your kingdom come, your will be done, that we would gain that heavenly perspective of the things of the earth as we submit to him, Jesus now shows us in verse 11 to begin praying for things for ourselves. Praying for things for ourselves. I think it's interesting that that doesn't happen until the middle of the Lord's Prayer. I believe there's some stuff that God wants to carve out of our hearts. There's some things that we need to get right in our perspective. Before we begin to pray for things for ourselves, Keith, we need to make sure that we got our acknowledging who it is that we're praying to and we're submitting to him before we begin to pray for ourselves. Amen? Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I was up in the youth group and I had a young girl come to me afterwards and she asked this question to me. She said, is it a sin to pray for yourself? Is it a sin to pray for yourself? What do you guys think? Is it a sin to pray for yourself? Yeah, yeah. Somebody had told her that it was a sin to pray for herself, okay? And so I told her the same thing. I said, no, it's not. This girl is going through a rough time. In fact, in my small group that I had, there was a couple other girls in my small group, and they asked that we would pray for her because her and her family are going through a hard time right now, okay? So I began to think of examples in the Bible that would back up my answer of no, it's not a sin to pray for yourself. And guess what came to mind? The Lord's Prayer. I was so thankful that we've been going through the Lord's Prayer so that I had that in my mind. You ever had that, you know, like you read a scripture and maybe the same day or another day recently to that where that word is fresh in your heart and all of a sudden it comes up where you have a need to use that word. You're like, oh, I can give this word to this person. I was just reading this in the scriptures this morning, or I'm going to pray this scripture over you, or whatever the case may be. I pray it over myself, you know. Whatever the case may be that I need to hear. Has that ever happened to you guys? A few of you? Yes, okay. So thinking of those examples, the Lord's Prayer came to mind, and I asked this girl, I said, do you know the Lord's Prayer? And she said, no. She said, no. That's a picture, friends, of what's happening in the world today. A generation ago, if you didn't already know the Lord's Prayer, even if you weren't a Christian, you either heard the Lord's Prayer or you knew it, okay? But now there's a new generation that's rising up that doesn't know the Lord or the things that he has done. It's like after Joshua passed away. Now, I would say that's only a part of the generation that's rising up. There is another part of the generation that's rising up that these kids' hearts are on fire for Jesus. Yes, there you go, right here, yep. On fire for Jesus. On Monday night, we had six young men come into our men's group on Monday night. And one of them, I know a little bit about his story, that he has recently given his life to the Lord. And he said, I just want to get into the Word. I just want to know what the Word says. I want to know it. Okay? That's a picture also of what's happening in this. We have a dichotomy in this next generation of those who are rising up. They're like, I'm not going to do the lukewarm type stuff, like what Jason was talking about earlier. I'm not going to do that lukewarm stuff. I'm going to be on fire for Jesus. But there's also another part that is rising up that doesn't know the Lord. They don't even know the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And so I began to say the Lord's Prayer to her. And I went through the first few verses, and I got to verse 11, and I said, give us today our daily bread. And I asked, who are we praying for in that scripture? And she goes, me. Oh, that's interesting. Let's keep going. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. How about that? Me. Okay. Lead us not into temptation. Who are we praying for? Me. Deliver us from the evil one. Who are we praying for? Me. So I said, it's kind of interesting. If that's Jesus' model for prayer, don't you think we should be praying for ourselves? Don't you think that's important? Can you imagine as a believer going through a really hard time, right? And you're like, oh man, I just need to pray for help. I need God's help. And have this other thought in your head saying, oh, but it's a sin to pray for myself. Can you imagine that? That'd be so difficult. So difficult. Now, we can go so far as to only pray for ourselves, but when our focus is only on ourselves and what it is that we need, we can miss that glimpse of the perspective that God wants to give us as we submit ourselves to His will being done. And that makes it all that much more difficult to pray according to His will. And so, with the right perspective, Jesus says this. Jesus says to pray, give us today our daily bread. And in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 11, there's another time that Jesus is giving the Lord's Prayer, and he says it this way. He says, give us each day, or day by day, in the Kijiv version. Not quite as much fun to say as the Inkijiv version. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now, which one is the right one to pray? Thank you. The answer is both of them are. Whether you pray each day for God to provide your daily bread, or you pray it regularly asking Him to provide daily bread for you, the point is you pray it because you trust Him to do it, to provide. You trust Him to do it. When I think of daily bread, my thoughts sometimes go to the small monthly publication that used to sit in the Presbyterian church that I went to. Anybody have, you know what I'm talking about? Not quite. No, it's a little pamphlet. Our Daily Bread is what it's called. Can you put that picture up? I think I have that picture up there. Maybe. Yeah, something like that. That started getting published in 1956, way back in 1956 AD. AD. But way before that, around 30 to 33 AD, Jesus told us that we should pray to our Heavenly Father to give us our daily bread. Has anybody seen the old show, Mr. Peabody and Sherman? Anybody seen it? Yeah. In that show, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, they have this machine called a Wayback Machine. And they'd hop in that machine and they'd go back in time to actually watch what was happening at that time. So as if they were living in that moment. So I have a picture of the Wayback Machine today. Can you put that one up there? Yeah, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. And their Wayback Machine. This is the newer version. There's an older one too. So we're going to do that today a few times. We're going to go in the Wayback Machine. We're going to travel back in time. And now we're going to, what I just talked about, AD 30 to 33, where Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. And people are sitting in a crowd around him sitting on that mountain. So now we've taken the Wayback Machine. We're in 33 AD, and we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, and we're listening to him give us this Sermon on the Mount. And part of that sermon is the Lord's Prayer. And he gets to this part where he says, give us this day our daily bread. What does daily bread mean? In the Greek, the word daily is the word epiousios. Epiousios. Now you see us, now you don't. Epiousios. But this Greek word occurs, this is the interesting thing, fun fact about this word, it occurs nowhere else in any Greek literature anywhere except the Bible. And in the Bible, it's only used twice. Can you guess which two places it's used? What's that? In the Lord's Prayer, both in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11. That's the only two times that this word is used anywhere in Greek literature. Okay, And it basically means what occurs or what recurs on a day-to-day basis. Daily. That's what daily means. All right, and then the word bread. This Greek word occurs 97 times just in the New Testament scriptures alone. And while it does mean physical bread, the variation of the Greek word that's used there is a little bit more broad and includes things like maintenance, living, and the necessities of life. So in other words, when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're asking God to give us what we need to maintain living, the necessities of life, so that we can serve him, so that we can live in a way that we can then go and do all the things that he has prepared, those good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. So Jesus taught us to pray to God to provide our daily bread. But did you know that asking for daily bread goes back even further than when Jesus walked this earth? Let's hop back in that way back machine. And we're going to go back to the book of wisdom with the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And a man by the name of Agur. You say Agur with me? Agur. Every time I say Agur today, I'm going to encourage you to... Yep, that's the older Wayback Machine. They still do the same thing, though. Yes. So a man by the name of Agur. So every time I say it, you got to say it, okay? Agur. All right. This is our family service. There's got to be more, you know, participation today. Not much is known about this guy. But what he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was compiled into Proverbs chapter 30, probably around 715 to 686 BC. So that's how far now we've gone back, about 2,700 years, okay? And this is what Agur prayed in Proverbs 30, verse 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread, daily bread. Now, why did Agur pray this? Why did he pray this? He tells us in the next verse, in verse 9. He says, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Isn't it interesting that while this is an ancient proverb written 2,700 years ago, we still see that it has meaning for us today. It still has something to say to us today. The Bible is still relevant for our lives today. Along the lines of, I may have too much and disown you. Jesus said it is more difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, not all rich people are like this, but it certainly is easy for those who are extremely wealthy in our day, those who can buy or get anything that their hearts desire, okay, to say from an earthly perspective, who is the Lord anyway, right? And on the flip side, those who are poor today, if desperate enough, they may go to whatever means necessary to fill their stomachs or their family's stomachs or to get what other things that they think that they need today, which may include doing something that is illegal, like Agur mentioned. Stealing, yes. And so Agur, thank you, wisely says, don't give me too much or too little, just what I need, my daily bread. Grant me my daily portion, and I will be satisfied with that. And I think there's something maybe missing in translation or lost in translation here. When we pray for God to give us our daily bread, we are asking him to supply our needs, yes? Yes, yep. But I believe that there's more behind this part of the Lord's Prayer. By praying, give us today our daily bread, we are, number one, declaring our faith in God that he has the ability to provide. He has the ability to provide. I mean, we wouldn't be praying it if we didn't believe it. Or we're just reciting. Okay? But number two, we are saying that what he provides must be my daily bread, even if I think it should be more. Even if I think it should be more. Will you trust him to provide what you specifically need today? We're not talking about tomorrow. Tomorrow can worry about itself. What you need today. Will you trust him to provide what you need today? Not just the food, but everything else. There's a good picture of this daily provision, though, of the food, of God providing food for us in the Bible. But guess what? We got to go back even further in the Old Testament. Got to hop in that Wayback Machine and go back further. The book of Exodus, chapter 16. Exodus 16, where the Israelites had left Egypt. They had done the exodus out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They were in the desert. This is about now 1445 BC to 1406 BC, somewhere in that area. And they get to the desert, and they realize they have nothing to eat. They have nothing to eat. So they begin to grumble against God. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Yes, thank you. I like the sound effects today. This is good. And wanting to return to Egypt. Some of them said, oh, that we could return to Egypt. Well, at least we had this than that, right? Not to mention that that was the land of their slavery. They wanted to return to slavery so that they could have something to eat. They had to learn to trust rather than to go back to Egypt. And so what happened? God provided a daily portion of food for them. And they were to go out each morning and gather this miraculous daily provision called manna 6 days a week. 6 days a week. Manna means what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. There was dew on the ground, and when it dried, there was this flaky stuff, and you're eating food off the ground. I guess maybe the hygiene wasn't as big of a deal back then, and you know, food contamination and that kind of thing. But they're in the desert. 5 second rule, yeah. Watch. Is it ready? Okay, grab it now. It's not dew anymore. Now it's flaky stuff. Well, yeah, I suppose. But it came with the dew, and then when the dew dried, there was this flaky stuff, and they're like, what is it? It was already on the ground. So, as is intended, though, when saying each day or daily, they were only to gather enough for that day. For that day. God, in fact, said, don't gather any more than you need for each day. He said that in Exodus 16, verse 4. Yet some of us are a little hard-headed. Some of us don't listen as well as we should. And some of us think, oh, well, if I got it today, then if I stack some away, then I'll have some for tomorrow. And then your neighbor will come out and say, good morning, Joe, are you going out to get the manna today? Oh, no, I've already got my provision for tomorrow. I only have to do this once. And yet what happened when they did that? Yeah, full of maggots. Have a maggot burger, manna. Manna maggot burger. Yes. And Moses was angry. I'm so thankful for the stories in the Bible. It just gives me hope for myself today. All of my mistakes, all of my shortcomings, all the things that I do, I'm just so thankful. So why only 6 days of gathering God's provision? Because they needed to take a Sabbath. They needed to have a day of rest. That's another cringe word in our day-to-day. What, you mean I have to stop? Ooh, but look at all the things that I need to get done. Sometimes we have more, you know, work than we do week. We have more to do than we have time. I like that. It was like the same letter at the beginning of both of those. Work, week, time, to do. Well, thanks, God. We need a break. And that break also helps us to trust that the Lord is our provider. See, 5 days a week, the Israelites were supposed to gather manna, and they could only gather it for that day, okay? Or it would be filled with maggots. So they're learning, okay, so if I gather it and I gather too much more, I open it up the next day, and it's maggots, maggot burger. Do it again the second day, open it up extra, maggot burger. Third day, maggot burger. Fourth day, maggot burger. Fifth day, maggot burger. So you think you get to sixth day, and you're like, well, if you tell me all these other 5 days, and it keeps being a maggot burger, how's it going to be on the seventh day? And yet, when they gathered twice as much on the sixth day, and they opened up their, what they thought was going to be maggot burgers on the seventh day, it was just fine. It was just as if they had gathered it that day. What's that about? Very good, yes. I believe that God wanted the Israelites to learn to trust him. To trust him for even their daily bread, their basic necessities, so that they could live. And so they had what they needed to serve him. It's no wonder that 1,400 years later, in the Lord's Prayer back in Matthew 6, now we're taking the Wayback Machine forward in time. Ooh, I like it. That was cool. Where we are learning, Jesus is teaching us to learn to ask God for our daily bread, that Jesus also teaches us in that exact same chapter that we are not to store up treasures on earth where moth and rust and maggots destroy, where thieves break in and steal, and not to worry about tomorrow. In the same chapter that he's teaching us to ask God for our daily provision, he's telling us to not store up treasures in heaven and to not be worried about tomorrow. That's a timeless lesson for all of mankind. And didn't Jesus say in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, when he says, "Come to me, all you are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Learn from me. Did you know learning takes humility? It takes humility. Sometimes it's easier to learn from one person than it is from another person. Sometimes it's easier to learn from someone who's older than you than someone that's younger than you. But every single time, it takes humility. It takes humility. Do you realize that every single time that we are not teachable, we allow pride in our hearts? And what does God say about pride? It comes before the fall. He opposes the proud, but gives grace or shows favor to the humble. We all need to eat a little humble pie every once in a while. Every day, thank you. Yes. It takes humility. It takes humility to trust that Jesus is going to provide for what it is that you need. Especially when you can't see him, you can't just go over to him and say, "Hey, yo, Jesus, will you give me this?" I mean, you can say it, you just won't see him, right? "Hey, yo, Jesus." Yeah. But he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, doesn't he, Tim? Yeah. And he has our best interest in mind. And he promises to take care of all of our needs. Why do I know that? Because Paul says that in Philippians 4:19. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." All your needs. All your needs. All your needs. I accented all three different. Okay, I'm good. Sometimes we get needs and wants confused. A little bit. Just a little bit. Here's the main point today. When you pray for daily bread, you are learning to trust him. When you pray for daily bread, you are learning to trust him. And God wants us to trust him, not ourselves, for what we need. Amen? Amen. As we close today, I just want to ask you, are you learning to trust him? Are you learning to trust him, or are you looking out for yourself? Do you want to continue to return to those places that you know that you can get what you need, as temporary as it is, rather than opening up your hand and trusting God to supply what you need as you pray? Some of you guys know I experienced a layoff in 2017. It was a complete surprise to me. I did not know it was coming. I was the only one who was working, well, for money in our family. Only one who had a living coming in. 2017, I go into the office that day, and they say, "We're going to have a big team meeting." And so we're like, "Okay, we're going to have this big team meeting." They take most of the team, but before they take them away, they say to five of us, "Hey, we need you guys to come and have this other meeting first, and then you can join that other meeting." We're like, "Oh, okay." Just like being led like a sheep to the slaughter kind of thing, you know, just not even knowing what was going on. And so we go to this other meeting, and meanwhile, while we're in that meeting, the big team is being told that we got laid off, and there's people that are emptying our desks of all of our personal effects and turning off our badges. They take our badges from us, and they make us sign a paper that says, "If you don't try to sue us, we'll give you severance for 2 weeks." That means pay for 2 weeks. So that was how it started. And so here I am, and actually I think it was Corbin's birthday. I went out to breakfast with Corbin that day, went into work, and a couple hours later, I was coming back home again. And everybody's like, "Why are you here?" And I was like, "It's a good question. I guess I got laid off today." You know? My inclination as a husband, as the man of the house, I got to go get another job. I got to go get another job because that is how I provide for my family. The Bible says if we do not work, we will not eat. So it's important that we continue to work, right? But I sense God telling me in that season to wait. To wait. And so as I sought him for what he wanted me to do, I didn't just run out and get a job, any old job. I in North Dakota, you have to apply for 4 jobs a week in order to keep unemployment. So I got some unemployment. So I was applying for jobs. But I was just walking through that season, and I was like, God, I don't know how this is going to work. I mean, like, I don't know how we're going to pay for all this stuff. The unemployment helped some with some of the bills, but not enough to cover everything, let alone our living stuff. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? How long is this layoff going to go? You know, all those questions. But during that time, God began to provide for us through others. Others in the body of Christ. We began to get gift cards from people. Somebody gave us a trunk of groceries. Somebody brought home-cooked food over to us. We got anonymous cards that had money in them. Didn't know who they were from. It wasn't just our church that was doing this. It was other churches as well. I have a list. I kept a list of all of the things that God provided for us in that season. I still have it. Every single time that God provided, every single time that God provided one of our needs, set it down in front of us. 7 of us gathered around it, joined hands. We said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for providing what I needed, what my family and I needed. You know what else happened in that season, too? That was July of 2017. In March of 2017, we had a prison inmate just got out of prison come and live with us, with someone that we knew. Someone that I knew. He moved in March. It sounds bad, but I really sensed that God was telling me that this guy needed to come and live with us, and he was a friend of mine. Fell in some hard times, but he's a friend of mine. And so I said, you can come and live in our basement, and I'm not going to charge you for rent. I said, just get your feet back on underneath you and get a job and get somewhere where you can, you know, maintain your living again. And so he came and moved in with us in March, so I wasn't charging him rent. In June, he says, I feel like God is telling me I need to help out with the bills. And so I said, well, I'm not charging anything. If you want to help out with that, that's up to you. That's up to you. By the way, we never asked anybody for anything during this season. We told people when people were like, hey, how's it going? Well, this is what's going on. You know, we never asked anybody for anything other than God. We just trusted God in this season. And so this guy said, well, I'd like to help out with the bills. And I said, well, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. You know, and so he started giving us money for bills in June. July, I get laid off. God worked that out ahead of time to have him come live with us and to be a part of the provision that we needed in that season. How cool is that? That's how our God works. It was 3.5 months that I was laid off before I got a job for a month and told in a month, and from then I was going to get laid off again. So, but hey, I'd already done it once. Trusted God in it, I could do it again. And it was only about a month and a half between that time and the next time, so it was shorter. But in that 3.5 months, God provided everything that we needed. And I was able to, this is what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to finish my credentialing so I can get my ministerial credential so that my family and I could be here with you, which is such a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He worked that all out too, because he knew that we needed to be together. I'm so thankful for that. Are you learning to trust him? Are you looking out for yourself today? Will you stand with me? I'm just going to enter a time of prayer right now. And I'm going to pray, and I just want you to consider, is there an area of my life that I'm not trusting the Lord in? Maybe it's specifically to provide something that you need, that daily bread. Is there an area that I'm taking matters into my own hands, or I'm not trusting him to do it, or maybe I'm not waiting long enough? whatever the case may be. I'm just going to ask you to give that to the Lord today, just to offer that up to Him.